What's up, bosses? Before we kick off this episode, I want to tell you about our sponsor this week, Indeed.com. Rapid growth for your business doesn't have to come with growing pains. When you have ambitious hiring goals, you need a partner to help you get there. You need Indeed. Indeed is the hiring platform where you can attract, interview, and hire all in one place. So instead of spending hours on multiple job sites looking for candidates with the right skills, you can do it all with Indeed. Find top talent fast with Indeed's suite of powerful hiring tools like Indeed Instant Match assessments and virtual interviews. I'm going to tell you even more about all the powerful tools within Indeed during the break in the show. But if you want to get started right now, Indeed is going to help you make every dollar count, because when you sponsor a job, you only pay for quality applications from resumes in their database matching your job description. Just visit Indeed.com/iLab to start hiring now. That's Indeed.com/iLab. One more time, Indeed.com/ILAB. Terms and conditions apply. Costs per application pricing not available for everyone. Need to hire? You need Indeed. All right, let's kick off this episode of Invest Like a Boss.
Welcome to the Invest Like a Boss podcast.
I'm Sam Marks.
And I'm Johnny FD. We're self-made entrepreneurs who invest our own money and use modern technology to invest like a boss.
Join us each week for exclusive interviews with our network of modern investors, business owners, and multimillionaires to discover new ways to invest our hard-earned cash.
Hello, handsome fellows. This is Johnny, and welcome to episode 251 of the Invest Like a Boss podcast. And beautiful ladies as well, not just handsome fellows. But I was looking at Sam's mug here on video for the Patreon. How you doing, buddy?
Good. Guapos and guapas, I think, in Spanish.
Yeah.
Oh, buddy, like, we got so much to catch up on. This could be a two-hour episode. And for the Patreons, there's going to be some good content in the private section of this podcast.
I guess that's
for the new listeners. What we typically do on this quarterly update is we have a private public portion of it, which is basically everything that we can reveal publicly, and then we have a private version, which is usually a second half of the episode that has a lot more about what we've been up to, that should be kind of more behind a wall, including some of the new investments that we're in. There's a lot of material there today, so I'm excited, man.
You know what? I am very excited as well. So I'm super curious. The last photo I saw of you was in looked like a sauna or some kind of wellness center in Tajikistan. What were you doing there, Sam?
Johnny, we can't jump straight to the private part of the podcast.
Oh, okay.
That's like the most private part.
Okay. So we'll save that for later.
Sorry, so I'm a little hoarse. I either have COVID or flu again. I'm not sure. So, well, they're all similar at this point.
Yeah. I mean, actually, thank God, right? Where it's finally gotten to a point where, you know, you get it. You're like, all right, I'll just stay home for a week, stay with mothers, and then it goes away.
Yeah.
I just hope, I just pray they don't start shutting down airlines again, or locking people in.
You know, what's going to be weird, man, is when one of these closed countries like China, that's had like 10 reported cases of COVID in the last year, opens up, because they're talking about kind of fully opening in the next few months. When that happens, COVID's going to run through a couple billion of people pretty quick.
Yeah.
You know, they're all vaccinated, but who knows, like, what's that actually look like? Do new strands pop up from that?
Well, also, I've heard that the Chinese vaccination is super ineffective. And they just refuse to use Western ones because just out of pride. and that's why they've had these issues.
Oh my gosh. So I was looking at like headlines of this quarter, and it's like, there's war in the Ukraine and there's a shortage of Adderall in the USA.
Oh, really? I didn't know that. Okay.
That's pretty much like my headlines on my newsfeed today. are freaking out in America. They are freaking out.
I was not aware of what's happening in the US with Adderall, but I just got back from a few weeks in the UK, in England. And it makes me realize how much I don't want to live in an English speaking country.
I was just going to say, I was going to finish that sentence for you. I think I would go back to the US before I moved to the UK.
Yeah. Yeah.
But they both are basically like on the bottom 90% of my choices globally.
Yeah, especially for the price. Like, especially for how expensive it is. Even though the pound has been dropping, I was still spending
for parity with a dollar.
It's insane. I mean, when I was there, it was like 120. So still 20% more. And it was still expensive. So I can't imagine what it was like when it was, you know, 1.6 or something to the dollar.
That's when I was living there. It's 1.6.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah, now's the best time to visit if there's ever a good time.
Yeah, it's true. But what were you doing there anyways? That's like, I remember hearing that you were there and I was like, that seems to be the last place Johnny would go.
Yeah, I would. I really never wanted to go, but I went to Portugal to give a talk at a conference. It was a way to see my old business mentor, Anton, and it was a paid trip. It's a paid speaking gig. So I was like, all right, let me get out of Ukraine for a while things are a little bit dicey, and let me go see some old friends. So I spent a few weeks in Portugal, and then my cousin happened to be in Paris for a second honeymoon that he got off of Costco travel. And I said, well, I'm close by. Let me pop over to Paris. And I assumed that Paris was really expensive, and that for some, I don't know why I assumed this. I just saw a cheap flight from Paris to London. And I was like, oh, I might as well go there, drop off the girl I was traveling with because she's living in the UK, and maybe travel around a little bit and then fly from there. Not realizing two things. One, there's a train that goes from Paris to London. That's way better.
Under the ocean.
Yeah. For some reason, I didn't even know that. And second, I underestimated how expensive the UK was. But once I was there, I was kind of stuck.
Okay. Yeah. And even going into like London in the airports, it's just something I dread. They're so busy. And just so much, like, I don't know. It just seems like they're chaotic. They're nice airports, but then getting in and out on like the trains and stuff's mad expensive and tons of people. And
yeah, it was $20 a person to take the train from Gatwick Airport to the center of London. That's $40 for two people, for £40. So it's like $50 something. Yeah. That was literally the same price as our plane tickets.
Yeah, but you're right. That train that goes from Paris to London is badass. It's like I think it's high speed and it's like a high class train. It's really cool.
I wish I would have taken that. If I had to go back again, or if I ever go back again in the future, I would absolutely recommend that, especially if you book ahead. I've kind of bitten the bullet a lot this last few weeks, and this is kind of a travel warning to everyone, is you have to book ahead, because when you book things last minute like I've been, we're just overpaying for everything and getting what's left over, crappy hotel rooms, the crappy Airbnbs that are overpriced. Yeah. And I have to stop doing that. I have to start planning ahead, even though I miss the freedom of just being able to show up last minute.
Yeah. And things are not as cheap as they were before COVID, and definitely not as cheap as they were during COVID. And there's shortages of places. Like, there's big migrations of people to different areas right now, mostly from like out of the stands, out of Russia, out of the Ukraine, out of places surrounding there, because they're anticipating a much larger war.
Yeah. By the way, every time you say the Ukraine, I think people are cringing, saying, stop calling it that.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay. Ukraine. A bit of a preview for the private portion of this, but I got stuck in Tajikistan, and it was only because we were there working with the government. Like, because what happened is, all of a sudden, when Russia instilled the draft and called up power, tons of Russians fled to the border countries because there wasn't enough flights to get them all out. So they went overland to the border countries. So a ton came to Tajikistan via Kazakhstan and Uzbekistan, etc. And then they all got on flights there to leave. Well, Tajikistan only has like 3 flights out a day, period. So all the flights got totally booked up for like 3 weeks. And I'm like, oh my God, I'm gonna be stuck here for 3 weeks. Not that it was like a bad place to be, but I had things I needed to do. And, luckily we basically wrote the guys we were working with, like, yo, we've been trying to book flights for 2 days. We need to get out tomorrow. Is there anything you can do? And they're like, oh yeah, no problem. We'll bump a couple people.
we'll get rid of anyone named Vladimir.
Right. And lo and behold, the entire airplane was Russians. They're all like, where are you from? I'm like, the USA. They're like, oh, we're friends. Wink, smile.
And they're like, no, we're not.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so this is actually kind of a strange time because I am... Actually, do you know where I am?
I was going to ask, but it looks like... I can't tell if that's a real background or not. It is a real background. Okay. It looks European. I'm guessing it's not Ukraine.
Nope.
It's got to be like towards the east. It's got like eastern look.
Okay.
Although that beam looks kind of...
Should we describe it for the people listening on the audio version?
Well, it looks like a white room with kind of a wood window, square wood window that I guess I would recognize as European. It's got a big wood beam across the top. And that's about all I can see, Johnny. I mean, a low table. I'd say it looks something like Belgium or no, Eastern Europe, Poland.
I'm in a village in Austria.
Okay. I wasn't so far off. Although I guess you could have guessed anywhere in Europe.
Yeah.
Oh man. Austria, dude. Uh-huh. Nice place.
Yeah. Nice
beautiful
people.
Beautiful country.
Yeah. Beautiful country. Good food. A bit pricey, but luckily I have friends that have a spare bedroom in the apartment and they invited me to come hang out for as long as I want. And I've been here for the last maybe 10 days. I've been here for a while.
Oh, wow. Who would have guessed Johnny FD would have gone to France, Britain, and Austria, three of the most expensive countries in the world, back to back?
Yeah. I mean, that's why I needed to kind of lay low for a few weeks, not pay $180 a night for shitty hotels anymore.
Yeah. I know the feeling.
Yeah. So I think I've decided if I'm going to travel ever again, I'm either going to, you know, pre-plan ahead and get those good Airbnbs or those good hotel room rates. And I think I'm not going to do this like crazy type of traveling I used to do. You know, when we met and kind of, you know, throughout the last decade, my style and I think our style of traveling has been one-way flights, carry-on luggage, and just book 1 or 2 days ahead. You know, just like, where do we want to go? Who are we meeting? What are we doing? How do we feel? I feel like the world's gotten too expensive and too crowded for that now.
But isn't it also just less enjoyable? Like just constantly packing, unpacking, in flux, going places where you don't know many people. I think this, we've been talking about this for 6-7 years now, right? When that was more the norm for us. Now we have actually followed what we've been saying. We've quieted down quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe for different reasons because of COVID but we also really got stationary and liked it. Now we still do a bit of the speed travel, but whenever we do it, we're like, we're not doing that again.
Yeah. Every time. I mean, literally the only reason why I did this crazy trip is because it's so hard to go in and out of Ukraine that I knew that if I left, I would have to, you know, see everything. And then when I go back, I'm back for 3 months because it's just too hard to go from Kyiv to Lviv to the border to Poland, then to fly somewhere.
Yeah, I get you, man. Well, the trick that always happens to me in my head is like when I'm stationary for a while, let's say I'm in Barcelona for like 3 months, and then I get sort of some interesting ideas or trip opportunities or business meetings, and all of a sudden it starts becoming quite interesting to me. If I'm thinking about it like 3 months in advance, it's like, oh, I'm gonna do this, then go to this. It's like, yeah. And it always seems good to put on the calendar to do. But then once I'm living in it, I'm like, this sucks. Like,
get me
back to my bed, man, and gym and sauna.
And the other problem is once we're at like summer, it's so easy to continue the trip. You know, it's like, do you want another hit? Do you want another, you know, do you want another drink? You know, kind of chasing the night, but this is chasing the travel where it makes logical sense for me to stop by Bratislava on my way back because I've never been there and it's, you know, an hour or 2 hours by train. From there, I can go to Budapest or I can go to, you know, somewhere in Poland, meet up with some friends there. And then I was like, you know what? From Budapest, maybe I could fly somewhere real cheap, leave my stuff there with a friend's house, go visit someone else. Yeah. Someone wrote me asking me if I wanted to go to Milan this weekend for some...
Oh.
it was like some business conference, $1,500 business conference that had, you know, has all these after parties. And he's like, Johnny, you know, you can come as a guest. And I was like, no.
It's like, how do you say no to these things? You know,
yeah.
It's the hard part. You have, yeah, go ahead.
Someone we know invited me to the Cayman Islands.
Well, that would have to be a really interesting invite, because for me to fly all the way there to go sit on a beach doesn't sound interesting, but
yeah. But oh, it's a beautiful beach. It's like a world-class, amazing Caribbean beach.
Yeah, but it's a fucking beach, man. You want to fly 12 hours through US to go sit on a beach and drink a beer? It's not Johnny.
Yeah, that's not me. And that's the thing is, I think most people, when they hear that, they're like, I would die to go and sit on a beautiful beach somewhere in the Caribbean. And it's because they're not as over traveled as us, in a sense where we're burnt out. You know, most people who don't travel enough, you know, maybe they haven't really gone anywhere, you know, for a year or two, they would kill for that opportunity.
Yeah. Well, I heard this actually in a Buddhist Dhamma talk, and he was talking about, he's like, options in life are like only good to a certain extent. These things are, Johnny, you and I have talked about, right? But he said it in more of like the Buddhist philosophy sense. It's like, when you have options, you feel the need to exercise these options. Mm-hmm. And when you have options that are like these interesting objects, it tricks you into thinking that object that you desire is happiness. Like, if you head towards that object, it brings you happiness, but it's a trick, because it always fools you, you know, because it, once you have it, you need the next trick.
Yeah, but it's also, so you know,
we're kind of wising up. But so wait, are you going to go to the Caymans?
No, sounds like there's no pot. You know, there's no freaking way I'm going to fly 12 hours to go sit on a beach.
who invited you?
We know them from Chiang Mai.
Okay,
I'll give you a hint. It's a couple. They moved from Chiang Mai to the Caymans.
Tax dodgers?
I don't know. I don't think so.
Because Cayman's not like a super cheap place. Because yeah, it's basically full of like fund managers living there.
Yeah, but I think they do quite well. His wife is named Jill. Josh Stanton.
Josh and Jill, that's right.
Yeah.
I'm actually sitting in Chiang Mai right now, so I should have.
I can tell, yeah.
This week's episode of Invest Like a Boss is brought to you by our longest running sponsor and our friends over at Indeed.com. Rapid growth for your business doesn't have to come with growing pains. When you have ambitious hiring goals, you need a partner to help you get there. You need Indeed. And if you're like me and you hate waiting, Indeed's US data shows over 80% of Indeed employers find quality candidates whose resume on Indeed matches their job description the moment they sponsor a job. Indeed even lets you do virtual interviews. That means you don't have to leave the site. You can do everything within Indeed. It saves you time. You can message, schedule, and interview top talent all in one place. Indeed makes it easy to connect with your applicants. No need to install anything extra. It works directly from your browser. So join the over 3 million businesses worldwide using Indeed to hire great talent fast. Indeed's going to make it even easier to help you grow your business and make every dollar count. Because when you sponsor a job, you only pay for quality candidates from resumes in their database that match your job description. If you want to get started right now, just visit Indeed.com/iLab to start hiring. That's Indeed.com/iLab. One more time, Indeed.com/ILAB. Terms and conditions apply. Costs per application pricing not available for everyone. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
You know, I was very, very close to just saying, you know what, I'm gonna move to Chiang Mai. I'm gonna rent a place for a year and just sit out this war, and just whatever happens, if it ends tomorrow, if it ends in 6 months, I'm in Chiang Mai for a year. I was so close to just saying, I'm tired, I'm exhausted. Chiang Mai is open, it's cheap now, weather's good. Let me just go,
Johnny. Yeah. The weather is good.
I know.
Yeah. I love the rainy season here, man. It's low key. There's not a lot of people. The rain is so beautiful. Like last night at 1 o'clock, this storm, you know, it's like crickets, right? I have my windows open because it's not too hot at night. It's like 22. And I was having trouble sleeping because I didn't feel well. And this flashes of lightning came, and then the storm and the wind, and for like 3 hours, just raining and little like soft thunder. And I was like, this is magic, man.
Yeah, I really love Chiang Mai in the rainy season as well. I think I don't like it in, you know, on the islands or in Pai where restaurants are all outdoors. But in Chiang Mai, I mean, you have great malls, you know, we have nice apartments, you know, you have saunas, we can just chill inside. It's completely fine. Cafes. Yeah,
have you ever thought about, you know, like everyone, I think at some point in life's like, this is where I want to die type of thing. You know, I wonder, I'd like to, people are like, oh, I'd like to die sitting here looking out the window, you know, type of thing. And for me last night, I was like, I think I'm just, this will probably be where I want to die. This like apartment, just kind of looking out the window, chilling.
That's nice. Yeah. I think I'll retire in Thailand. It's the best place in the world for, you know, good healthcare, good, you know, elderly care. It's, you know, affordable. They have a good retirement visa. So I think that's my backup plan. I think that's why I'm not in too much of a rush to go there now, because I'm already 41. Mm-hmm. So another like, what, 10, 15 years, I might be like, all right, I'm moving to Chiang Mai. Yeah.
Yeah. It's not for everyone though. You know, a lot of people just don't like this type of vibe. They want the Western cities. They want the hustle and the bustle, and the big, tall, shiny buildings and stuff.
Oh, by the way, have you seen the new kind of wealthy tourist millionaire visa that Thailand just introduced?
I've heard a couple of different visas they're introducing, but not that one specifically.
So Thailand, you know, has been pretty outspoken about this for years now. They want to attract less backpackers. They want more wealthy, you know, foreigners, IT workers, you know, people who just have a lot of money. In concept, it's a fantastic idea because, you know, for example, when I was living in Chiang Mai and I was bringing in like 20 grand a month, I still couldn't get a retirement visa. You know, even when I was a millionaire, I still couldn't get a retirement visa just because I'm not 50 years old, which is, you know, ridiculous. You know, they've always had the Thai deep visa like that you have, but not everyone wants to spend, you know, 25 grand to buy it, you know? Mm-hmm. And this just sounded like a good plan. And at first I read it as you either need to have $1 million in net worth, $80,000 a year in provable income, or you would invest $500,000 into Thailand somehow, whether through property or through whatever it is.
Okay.
And at first when I read that, I was like, you know what? That is smart. I think that'll do well. I think a lot of people will apply for it. It's a 10-year visa and it's renewable. And then I read another article saying, no, it's not either or. You need to have all three. You need to do all three.
Okay. Yeah. So why wouldn't you just buy the Thai Elite Visa then?
I think it's for people who
want to buy a house. Nice house. Yeah.
Yeah. But the thing is, I think very, very few people are going to do this because the requirement is just, it's just too much to do all three. If they said choose two out of the three, or, you know, you need to have you need to have the net worth or the income, and you need to buy some kind of property, you know, that's over 100 grand or 200 grand. Like that would be okay, but not everyone wants to spend $500,000 in a Thai property. It's ridiculous.
Yeah. No, I think for what is it now? 15 grand. I think it's 15,000. You can get a 5-year Thai Elite that comes with the limo service. If you want to spend a good portion of the next 5 years in Thailand, that's 3,000 a year. You don't have to mess around with visas. You know, first class service to and from airports. Cause people that spend time here, they end up spending that by leaving the country to go get on visa runs anyways.
You know, not necessarily $300 a month, but yeah, in general, actually, I guess if you go on a nice visa run every 3 months, but the thing is, you'd probably want to do that anyways. You'd probably want to travel every 3 months anyways.
Maybe. Yeah.
So that's why it never made sense to me. Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, maybe they'll end up revising after they realize like there was you know, probably a lot of interest, and then zero people actually did it, you know, do it.
I wish more countries would adopt a similar program like this. It's so easy. I mean, Thai Elite is so easy, really. And when I went to Tajikistan and some of the benefits that we had there and just the ease of doing things, I was like, man, if you could do this in like three or four of your top countries without going the whole golden visa bullshit, like heavy process route, it's so good.
Yeah. You know what? I think this might become a new trend. I think we're onto something. I'm excited to hear more about this in the kind of business investing and kind of personal side of things. But anything you want to kind of mention here while we're still on the public side?
Yeah, let's see, public side real quick. So I guess this last quarter, I want to hear about kind of your quick travel path, or actually I already heard about yours. Yeah, you've been hanging out in some expensive places. So I was mostly in Spain, hunkered down there. And then I did where things got pretty quick for me. I went back to the US, came back to Spain, did 5-day Camino de Santiago, which you were pretty close to actually joining because you're in Portugal at the time, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that was the second year in a row I did that.
How was that, by the way?
Oh, man, it's awesome.
It's beautiful. Yeah.
Okay. It's awesome. It's awesome. It's like, because you only have a couple things that you do each day. It's like you walk 6 hours a day. Mm-hmm. You wake up, you eat, you walk 6 hours a day. Your feet are busted. You usually have like a beer, but it's just a lot of really downtime to think, catch up on audiobooks, have some good conversation. And it all ends in the city of Santiago, which is a really awesome destination that's just full of walkers, you know? Mm-hmm. It's just like walkers from all around the world that are basically all year round colliding on the city. I think a lot of people just do it for pure out of enjoyment, like travel, but it's a pilgrimage for a lot of people, whether it's Christianity or spiritual, but it's pretty awesome. The route we did this year went basically from the border of Portugal, which went all through a section of Spanish wine country. Mm-hmm. So the route is basically all through kind of people's backyards, and the whole area is wine growers. It's all farmers. So the vines are kind of hanging over the road for the people that are just listening and can't see the video. I'm making my arms like vines hanging over this walking route. And the whole way you're just picking. It's almost like they planted them there specifically. So as you walk by, you pick.
Oh, grapes, wow.
You eat them.
That's nice.
It's super cool. Yeah. So that was really fun. And from there flew straight to Tajikistan, then to Dubai, Abu Dhabi, Bangkok, Cambodia. We just opened this computer lab for a school. It's part of charity. I just posted it in the Boss Lounge. It was an incredible event. And now just landed in Chiang Mai last night. So finally getting to enjoy some green tea.
Wow.
Looking at a mountain. I called Johnny in the middle of the trip and I'm like, I can't do this anymore, man. I can't. This travels too much for me.
That sounds exhausting, mate. How long are you going to stay in Thailand for?
1 week.
That's it?
1 week. Yeah, man. Yeah. I am going tomorrow to Bolkow's Muay Thai camp for a week.
Oh, nice. Train.
See how much longer my body can train Muay Thai without breaking. And then off to Japan with Kevin Shea for 2 weeks.
Okay. That'll be fun.
Ride bicycles around the north, Sapporo.
Oh, nice. That'll be fun. Okay. Yeah. And then are you going to go back and chill a bit in Chiang Mai?
There's a good chance I'll probably come back for a couple of weeks, but I'd like to actually be in Barcelona like November, catch the end of fall.
Yeah. Okay.
It's also, it turns out it's also like one of the best months in Chiang Mai too. So it's tough.
Yeah. You know, that's tough having these two home bases on opposite sides of the world because they're both good options. I think most people would be more than happy having either or option. By having both, it seems like it actually doesn't double the happiness. It actually just complicates things.
Yes. I agree to that with a certain extent, but actually, if you peel it back, like schedule wise, the times of years you want to be in both are pretty complementary instead of overlapping. Like you want to do springs and falls in Spain or in Barcelona. Summer's good there too. Actually, all year is good there too. But then winters in Chiang Mai are great. and also rainy season, like summers. Like summer in Barcelona is great. People love it. But for me, it's like, it's hot and there's a lot of tourists and a lot of partying. Yeah. I'd rather be like in the rain in Chiang Mai, you know?
Yeah. And it's a shame that we both kind of decided we're not going to rent out our apartments while we're gone, because summer would be the best time to do it.
Yeah, it's true. I'll tell you the other benefit. I don't mind the travel between the two because I fly Emirates or Etihad or Qatar, and it's like enjoyable.
Oh yeah.
If you have lounge access and you fly on those planes, 6 hours, both legs, you stop in the Middle East. It's actually enjoyable. Like it was going from the US to Thailand three or four times a year that I couldn't bear anymore.
Yeah.
Like Barcelona there is like no problem.
Yeah. Yeah. You're absolutely right. Absolutely right. You know, speaking of lounge access, I was so pissed because when I flew from Portugal, they brought us to, we had to fly out of this low cost terminal, no lounges. Mm-hmm. And then in France and Paris, there was also no lounges in whatever that terminal was. And even if we went to the other terminal, which would have been too far out of the way, they required, like they said, no t-shirts, like only like business wear.
It's such a France thing to do.
Yeah. So
my old girlfriend tried to get into a lounge there once, and they're like, and she's Thai. And they're like, oh, we're full. And she's like, doesn't look full. You know, she's looking over the shoulder of a lady and it's like five people inside. And they're like, it's full. They're just racist.
Cunts. You know? Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Cunts. And meanwhile, Paris is a fucking third world country, city now. It's like, you walk through there, it's a ghetto, you know?
Yeah. But you know what?
That's why they're not too happy with the demographics.
So I really,
you know, I was thinking, Johnny, one more quick thought. I was thinking this would be quite actually ironic and could actually happen. Is over the last few years, there's been this like massive wave of migration from Africa to Europe. And everyone's of course not in Europe for the most part, hasn't been happy about it. Mm-hmm. But if this war kicks off, where do you think all the Europeans are going to flee to? They very well might flee south into Africa.
No,
that'd be funny. They very well might.
Yeah, just stop taking over South Africa. Start
dropping and stuff, you know? Oh my gosh.
Well, let's hope that doesn't happen. I don't think it will, but at the same time, it is kind of a not auspicious time for me to go back to Ukraine this week. So I might take my time in Vienna and in Budapest and see what happens.
Cool, man. Well, dude, I know we got a lot to talk to you on the private side. Should we click over there and start chatting about investments, money, private things?
And I'm literally dying to hear what happened in Tajikistan, because all I saw was a photo of you there and like just bawling out with these dudes. And I'm like, first off, never heard of the country. Second, what are you doing there? And third, what is this status that you're talking about? So let's hop over after this break. Thank you guys so much for supporting us on Patreon. If you want to have access to, you know, not only the quarterly updates, but also, you know, kind of exclusive things, and, you know, just really just help out, like help out the show, see all of our updates live, you know, see our what we're investing in, hop over to Patreon and join for as little as $5 a month. So we'll see you guys there in a second.
Yeah. So if you want to catch the second half of this podcast, just join Patreon, whatever tiered level you join, and then you'll have access to the second half of this interview and video, the full video in the Patreon group.
All right. See you guys there.
Thanks for listening to the Best Like a Boss podcast. Join our mailing list at investlikeaboss.com to get exclusive access to our insider investment portfolios and our private members forum.
If you enjoyed this episode, please subscribe on iTunes or your favorite podcast app. Tell your friends and leave us a review in the iTunes store. It helps more than you know. See you guys next week.